You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello again, listeners, subscribers, viewers, and the lady on the bus who's been enjoying us for 5 years, even though we've only been on the air for four. With you as always, I'm Top Toast.
And I am Annie. Thank you for joining the Olas Toast podcast. Hey, coincidentally, in our group chat today, in our Olas Toast podcast Telegram chat, somebody mentioned the lady on the bus.
Somebody mentioned Lady on the Bus. I missed
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you haven't seen it yet.
I was very busy today.
Yeah. They were like, I'm trying to get the lady on the bus to come on, but she won't join the chat or something. It was great.
Well, before we go too far down that rabbit hole, since the YouTube viewers already can see the second window, why don't we introduce, joining us from Florida today, it's our pleasure to have Malika. Welcome aboard.
Hello.
Hi, Malika. Hey, you are such a busy person. So I really, before anything, just want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. Both of us actually were talking about it, and we've been following you for quite some time. So for those people that, you know, are new to the community or have been like living under a rock, like tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I am Malika, and my business name is kind of like My Pretty Feet Ate. It's what I picked when I didn't know anything about the business, and I wish I had changed it a long time ago, but it's My Pretty Feet Ate. I started on Instagram with just feet pictures, and I didn't really know anything about it, but I knew that I wanted to be a foot model. I'd wanted to do that for a really long time. Because I always thought I had pretty feet, and I was thinking mainstream modeling, but I'm really short. I'm only 5'2", so actually, I found out I'm 5'3", so I didn't think that would ever happen, but then I found out about Instagram foot modeling, and I'm like, yes, so I just kind of started, and I fell in love with it.
But no. Even foot modeling, but if it's just feet, it doesn't matter how tall you are, right? Or does it?
Yeah, but a lot of the mainstream models, you know, they had the really long toes and they had the really slender feet. And it was kind of a look. And it's more than just feet as well. They had the super long legs, you know?
That's true. You also have to kind of be a leg model. That's true.
You're on the right podcast anyway, because we're not huge fans of the long toe scene. That's not our thing.
Yeah.
Short chubby toes.
Yes, those are our favorites. We're a little bit biased. Yeah.
We are.
I guess I should say I'm biased because Top Toes, his actual toes are like very long.
Oh yeah, but we don't show my feet.
Right. But my toes are very short. Actually, you know, they're not that short. It's just that my feet are so wide and big that they look short.
Yeah.
So I just kind of prefer that aesthetic. There is absolutely, like, I have to say this disclaimer so I don't get, like, you know, hate mail. There is absolutely nothing wrong with long, veiny feet and skinny feet, and they are equally as beautiful. Mm-hmm. This is just my flavor, you know?
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
We've all got our own tastes, right?
We do. And we appreciate Quentin Tarantino, but we don't necessarily personally share his taste in feet.
Definitely.
He can go do that thing and we'll do our thing. But no, there's pretty feet for everyone and there's a fan for every foot. Absolutely. But I want to say you've been around since what I've referred to as the Instagram heyday. Before everything went mad, before the oversaturation of the market, the 2015, 2016 era.
Well, I actually got in right as it started to get really bad. I got in 2018. So I kind of jumped in when it was really popular, but I didn't know anything about it at all. So shortly after I got in, it started with like the Instagram deletions and just all that drama.
I feel like you got in just before the COVID influx.
Yeah.
So
the very
that was
end.
Definitely a big jump with OnlyFans and all that stuff for sure.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it was crazy. It's nuts. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, I think I'm on Instagram, I've always followed you. And I found you on Twitter and I started following you there. And then and I realized that you had a YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, cool. Like, let me go follow her on YouTube, you know? And the first video that I saw was one of the biggest reasons why I immediately texted Top Toes and was like, we've got to have her on. Look. Because you, by the way, I've recommended that video to a ton of people already. It was the video where you were talking about the things you wish you knew when you first started.
Yeah, the feet pick lies.
And one of the things I see those videos, like a lot of girls do that. I see a lot of those kind of like things I wish I would have known before I started my OnlyFans kind of thing. Uh-huh. But one of the things that I really like impressed me about yours was that you said, I wish that somebody would have told me that I'm not just selling feet pics, that I'm actually doing sex work. Uh-huh. And it's actual fetish work. Yeah. And I think that is the first thing that anybody that jumps into this should know.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to just point the camera at your, regardless of how gorgeous they are. Uh-huh. You're not going to just point the camera and then sell a couple pictures and be filthy rich. Like, that's just not going to happen.
And even if you were to keep it to just that, no matter what boundaries you set for yourself, I think it's important to make the personal realization, no matter what, you've stepped into the world of online sex work, period. Uh-huh. End of a story. You can't delude yourself into thinking, oh, cause it's just feet, I'm not a sex worker.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a wake up call for me, cause some fans would call it, you know, corn. Or they would call it, what do they call it? I guess they did use the term sex worker. And I was like, I'm not a sex worker. What?
Right. That's not what I'm doing. I was really insulted. Like in the beginning, I remember I was so insulted that someone asked me if I would give them a foot job. And I was like, first of all, what is a foot job, right? So my husband is a foot fetishist. So I asked him, like, what is a foot job? And he was like, oh, that's like a hand job, but with feet. And I was like, what?
Wait, right? You had gotten that far in your marriage? You hadn't figured that out yet?
Yeah, because remember, my husband is not big on the foot jobs.
That's true. We've had an entire
So my feet had been on his dick. They just, you know, mostly and usually went in his mouth or his hands, you know, it was not a thing. So, right. So then when somebody asked me, I was like, what? Like, how dare you?
I would never.
And I'm just like, oh, let me send you to the person that gives really great foot jobs. Tell me what kind you want.
Thumb through my Rolodex here.
I know, right?
I get asked for referrals all the time. Oh, do you know a girl in Kansas City that would do this? And I'm like, how would I know? No idea. Very weird questions, as if I know everybody.
Yeah. It's because you're so popular. It's because you're so popular and you've been doing it for such a long time. Yeah. So what kind of, like, tell us a little bit about, like, the type of content that you do.
So I have just started doing way more. I realized when I started working with the other full fetish models that I don't know anything about this industry, because mostly I would do customs, and I do a lot of customs for feet, and you know, tons of feet joy, tons of stepmommy role play and teacher role play, but it's all solo stuff. So when I started working with other people that don't just do feet stuff, I'm realizing, oh, there's like hand over mouth, and there's, what was the other one I just did? Ovor, which
oh, yeah,
swallowing people, little teen people. So now I'm doing way more than I was before. So I'm doing everything that's fully closed, basically, is what I stick to.
Yeah, that's kind of how I, my rule for customs is anything below the thigh.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I'll do anything below the thigh. And then if I'll do an occasional vor, but I don't like to put my face out there too much just because I've got, you know, a kid in the military and I'm sure he's a horny kid and I don't.
You don't want him to find it. Yeah, that makes sense. That definitely makes sense.
Yeah, but I, yeah, but war is definitely kind of a fun one that not a lot of people do. But I think it like we've talked about how it kind of all ties together.
Mm-hmm.
Like somehow it's still related. Like the feet, there's like giantess, and the giantess goes into like vor and food crush and all these kinds of other stuff. So
yeah, because you can squish them with your feet a little bit first and then eat them. Or make them lick your heels first and then eat them.
I love it. So what's been your favorite to do? Like, what is it, the ones that you like to do the most?
It kind of changes. At first it was all the feet joy, because I was learning I didn't really talk dirty in my real life. I was just like, feet. I don't talk dirty like normally. It's kind of not my thing, so that was kind of interesting getting used to it. And then I really liked domination, because I learned more about that, and small penis humiliation was really fun. But now I found a role that's really fun, where I kind of play kind of a Karen role. Just a bitchy woman.
We have gotten to a point in this world that there is now Karen porn. I don't know what to be called.
Yeah,
it's a so statement fun. About society as a whole, I feel.
Well, I don't know why I connect with her so much. I had to play a Karen at a coffee shop where I was bitching at the waitress. I was just like, you need to bring my coffee. I don't know. It was just fun.
How dare you? No, men, they love it. They love that femdom in many different ways. You know,
the femdom. You know, there's mommy dom, there's hard dom, there's soft dom, and now there's Karen dom. I wasn't aware.
And I'm really good at it. I will talk to your manager.
Well, you've heard it here. If you need a talk to the manager's custom, we now have the one person you should go to.
I will call your manager and get you fired. That's silly, but I love it.
Security. I'm actually surprised at the stepmommy stuff, the stepmom stuff. I've been told that I'm really good at the mommy stuff, and I never really was too comfortable doing it, but as with anything, you just practice it enough and you can get used to it, you know. But part of that is the same thing. It's femdom and it's still being bitchy, you know, it's still like telling the foot boys what to do.
Yeah, it's much better. The stepmommy roles are much better when she's meaner. She can still tell him to jerk off, but it's more like you're going to do the dishes and then you get to smell my shoes.
I love it. Thing.
Rather than sensual, it's better when it's bitchy. Maybe I'm just bitchy.
So you don't do any in-person sessions, if am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, I don't.
Okay.
I had someone tell me, I got an email and I told him, nope, I don't do any in-person sessions. And he goes, liar, but okay. I'm like, what?
Oh my God.
Okay.
So because you saw something on film, you think that was a session. Oh, no, I work with content creators that have a store that I film stuff that is not their fetish. It's the viewer's fetish. That's the difference.
Right. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I've been accused of being a liar too. I mean, they just get really upset, you know. Just today I posted on my Instagram. Did you see Top Toes, the guy that commented on every single one of my pictures?
Did I see? I responded to you and you posted my response. Yes, of course I saw.
Oh, right. Yes, you did. Okay.
Yeah. That's where we got into the ultimate time waster. He wasted his own time.
That's right. The time waster. Wasting his own time. Yeah. Every single one of my pictures he commented, and I started just deleting them, you know, and then I was like, wait a second. I'm just gonna leave them. Who cares? Yeah, but they get really upset. So I want, because you know, lately we've had only we've had people that have been kind of new to the industry, I think. Mm-hmm. So what do you think has changed since when you first started?
I definitely think it's gotten way more oversaturated. I think it's more difficult to probably find the good fans. And with the influx in 2020 came a lot of ladies that don't know how to treat a fan and don't know how to have customer service. And right. So I think, and some of them are letting the OnlyFans management companies, which are really just scammers, manage their OnlyFans. And so they're not even connecting with their fans and finding out what their fans actually want to see. Mm. There's a lot of women out there that don't even know anything about what they're doing. The managers are just like, oh, take a picture of this. And so they do. And then that's that, you know?
Yeah. They're looking at algorithm hits and not.
Yeah. And
wow, I didn't even think about that.
Getting scammed, which sucks.
Yeah. I do feel those are a bit spammy, scammy. I wasn't aware of them so much in the OnlyFans world, although I kind of had to figure they were going to come around. Definitely, we've talked before about how much Feet Finder is that way.
Yeah.
It
just grosses me out how popular it's gotten. But they advertised correctly all up on TikTok.
Well, they're also creating spam accounts on Instagram, which is helping us be so oversaturated. You can tell instantly. They've got a tiny URL and two pictures and no business whatsoever, just like the bot spits out pages.
Why
get into this if you're not going to manage your own stuff?
They just think it's fast money and
They think it's fast and easy money, but you know, I have seen a lot of scamming lately. And I think it's on both sides. Okay. It seems like every time we're on to like, you know, the latest game, then a new one comes up and we're like, oh shit, we have to like relearn all this stuff all over. Like, it gets crazy.
Mm. Yep. I'm still learning different ways that I can be scammed.
So what's absolutely funny to me here is when we were just in the pre-show, when Annie and I were just kind of chatting and getting our energy up and, you know, making sure that we were on page with, you know, anything we might want to touch on. And we both had the impression you'd been around for, you know, 3 to 5 years longer than you had. And we both
I knew it was 2018. I knew that. It's on her, like, main page.
Okay, for me, I thought you were there, like, as long as I have been. Like, I thought you were the third person I followed. Oh. And you feel like you've been around a lot longer. And that dovetails into you feel like you've been around a lot longer. You feel so very, very professional. And yet now I'm talking to you and you present so still unsure of yourself, still learning it all. And it's so, you know, give yourself the credit.
She's just a humble person. But this is why I was telling you, Top Toes, like, this is the perfect person that you want, like, in the foot fetish community. Absolutely. You know, someone that's like, that's great. First of all, gorgeous feet, first of all, right? And then you do your own, and I'm just so amazed that you do all your own petties. Like but yeah, so just someone that's kind of for the community, very positive, and you're still treat all, you know, your clients and your customers with kindness and respect, but you're still, you know, doing all the things that are, I can't even describe it, like without sacrificing who you are. And I love that because it's so hard. Yeah. I feel like half of the women that do this end up believing their own hype, and all of a sudden they're goddesses and no one can talk to them.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so unapproachable, even towards us, like even towards people that you might collaborate with. They're just so unprofessional. And mm-hmm. I don't know, like I'm a tough girl, but it hurts my little heart sometimes.
Yeah. It's, you know, getting into the femdom and the fandom that really exploded, which is annoying because the girls don't know what the hell they're doing. But
yeah,
once you get into that persona, it's kind of like they don't know how to turn it off for another professional or even in their real life. I've heard of it being an issue, so it's kind of weird that they jump into this role and then they can't get out of it, kind of.
Yeah, they forget that it's a bit of an invention. Yeah. And so much of what we do is a bit of an invention. We create our persona, and then we get involved in creating content in all different aspects. And, you know, as you said very succinctly, you know, you're making content based on the fetishes of the purchasers, not your own.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'm sure it helps if you kind of can get into it, if you can feel it. But, you know, you're exploring things based on the requests of other people. So obviously you're making a construct, you're making a fake identity that is the foot fetish Karen wants to speak to the manager of all feet or whatever type of thing you're doing. But yeah. I created that scenario. Well, you created that scenario. I just made it sound so ridiculous to say, you can't live in that persona.
Right. Right. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I am, each role you have to pick up and then leave behind when it's done. I mean, you're not that person. Some of the stuff you say is bananas. I wouldn't say that stuff in real life.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But I enjoy knowing that it's something that they want to hear and that's their fantasy and filling the fantasy. So I give them the fantasy, and then I'm me. I'm a nerd. I'm a just a silly person.
Lady. Hey, so I want to back up a little bit. You said that you'd been wanting to do it for a long time because you have really pretty feet. So, but then you're saying like you weren't into all that fetish stuff and you didn't know much about it. So what was it? Was there something that triggered that thought? Like, what was it that initially put that idea in your head?
Well, about starting the feet pictures?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, my husband said that a guy at work sold his socks on eBay. And I was like, what? So, I...
Oh, my God, that's my story!
I was like, well, I'm going to look into this because that sounds fun.
And it's all in my story.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's how I got started. So I used to post pictures of my feet on my regular Instagram, like my, you know, my personal Instagram, my vanilla Instagram, because I like pedicures. Like I just always like my feet. And I like, you know, pedicures and whatever. And I started to get these weird messages. And then I think somebody shouted me out, and then it grew like crazy. Like, you know, I went from like 100 followers to like 2000 or something crazy like that.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And then there was all these weird messages and people were like offering to be my slave. And I was like, what is happening here? You know? Mm-hmm. And simultaneously, somebody offered to buy my socks. Like, and I was like, what? Is this a joke? So I kind of like researched it a little and I saw they were selling socks on eBay. And I was like, what? Mm-hmm. Sell my socks on fucking eBay, and that's exactly what I did until eBay shut me down.
They don't let it anymore.
No, you just can't do it anymore. They just won't allow anymore. But it was so much fun. Mm-hmm. I had very few messages on eBay, you know, I didn't have to deal with like dick pics or anything like that. And it was so much fun just because it was such a gamble. Like I sold a pair of socks for like $6 and I sold one for like $2.50, you know? Wow. So it's just, it was such a great game. Like it was awesome. So I love eBay. I'm surprised that it was a guy that your husband told you about. So your husband does not have any kind of a fetish. Is that safe to say? Okay. All right.
My butt.
He's a butt fetish. Yeah, I guess mine has a butt fetish too, but I don't really have a butt, so he just steals.
I don't feel like I have a butt, but then I hear that I have a nice butt. I'm like, what? It's a pancake. I don't know. I have very wide hips.
I feel like, you know, nowadays, if it's not this ginormous bubble butt, we think it's not nice.
Yeah.
But it can still be nice. Yeah, it definitely
can still be. That's a nice under part.
Yeah. It's lifted and, you know. Yeah. I think we can definitely still have a nice butt. I was super pancake butt, so that's why I don't do any like, I hardly ever do any kind of like ass content. Like I'll get asked to like do the soles and booty kind of pics and stuff like that, but they just don't look good in my opinion. So I do very little of it.
Yeah, I like it.
What is the craziest thing someone's asked you to film for them?
So
like the most original, let's not say crazy, let's say the most original.
I brought this up on the last podcast that I did because I absolutely love these customs. So he likes the very much, what is it, 60s or 70s, you know, sorority house versus the nerds type of movie. And so I would play the sorority house. This is another one that I identified with for some reason, even though I was never in a sorority house. So I'm blindfolded and my feet are out and I'm like, oh, schnookums, these awful nerds, they're so mean. Anyways, and I'm just talking like I'm talking to my schnookums, and turns out it's the nerds that are licking my feet and making me have an orgasm. And then I move my blindfold and it's actually the nerds and I'm pissed off. So that one's fun. And then,
wow, it's like full scenes, like it's full episodes.
Yeah, and it's a lot of dialogue too. It's a lot of dialogue that I have to kind of remember every now and then. I have to pop, like completely make my body still move the blindfold so I can read the script and put it down and cut that part out. But another one, it was kind of like a Home Alone style booby traps. So I would have to pretty much act out all the booby traps that I was under and react to schnookums getting trapped. So those are really fun.
Oh my gosh, they sound so complex. Yeah,
definitely elaborate.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, but how amazing as a fetishist, right? Mm-hmm. How amazing is it to find a person that can do this for you and do it the way that you like?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I would like never let Malika go if she fits that role. Like I just wouldn't. I mean, there are men that are very, very particular. I mean, there are men that you just get off on, you know, a foot pics or video, just it pointing at our feet, you know, but there are some that are extremely particular in what they need.
Yeah.
I feel like the giantess.
Oh yeah, I love
the giantess guys are like that. They have a lot of, there's definitely a lot of lines to memorize with those guys.
I just love that Malika.
They're all so creative, like the shrinking virus, the shrinking remote.
The shrink ray. Oh my gosh. Yeah, absolutely. The shrink ray is one of the best. Yeah, I did one once where I was at the chiropractor and the chiropractor was like, you know, aligning my back. And then as he was aligning my back, and it was a female chiropractor. And as the doctor was aligning my back, it started to kind of like stretch. And then I stepped off the table, you know, and when I stepped onto the floor, my foot did this kind of like the Incredibles mom thing, you know, where it was like kind of stretchy and jelly. And then I stretched out into this giant woman. It was fucking fantastic. It was great.
Okay. Doesn't sound like something you can film though.
No, but you know, just pretending it was enough. Just the talking about it, I think, was enough.
Yeah. I've heard so many people talk about some of these videos, and they did, you know, and been involved in filming videos myself. And sometimes it's just, you know, this is not my fetish, but I'm going to try to do my best. But it's work and it's effort. And you're talking about these things, and it seems like you dive headlong into them, and you have the energy to try anyone. Have you ever turned anything down?
I have turned down one of them, and this was back when I was new, so maybe I would try it then. I don't know. But he wanted me to pretend that I was in labor.
Oh, that's, yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. I'd feel comfortable with that. I think that would be a little, because literally just like sitting with my legs up going,
I've seen your Twitter, I've seen your Instagram, I haven't seen any of your paid or your other things, but I've seen your Twitter obviously shows some clips of stuff that you've done on other platforms. I would not look at that and say, oh, there's the model I want to do my labor fetish video. No, you don't know unless you ask. It's just, I'm not sure why you were the go-to on that particular thought.
I know. I think it's because she's so approachable. Because she comes across as a sweetheart. You know, I really do think, because they're not, do you think they're going to go ask one of those femdom, like, oh, absolute bitches, like, hey, can you pretend like you're in labor and make me a video for however amount of money, though? No. No way.
They so, will, yeah. Not, certainly.
You know, I've had sort of other professionals, like really, like women who do this full time for a living always and have been doing it for years. I've had them say that you have to be approachable. Like, you have to be, even if your persona is being femdom and being like the bitchiest of bitches, you still have to be approachable and, yeah. You know.
Be yeah. able to be contacted. I always feel bad that I don't answer the DMs that are like, hi, hey, but I'm an introvert. If I answered all these questions, I would have zero energy left for my family or customers.
Your actual, right, the actual yeah. stuff that pays, yeah.
Yeah.
So No, it's just entirely too much. It's mm-hmm. just entirely too much. It's too much for one person. Yeah, yeah. It really is. So...
But we just discussed that these BS social media managers aren't good for our scene either. So,
not on OnlyFans.
What size shoe are you, Malika?
Size 8.
Ah, thus the My Pretty Feet 8.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
It's my favorite number, but it just happened to be my feet size too.
God, you know,
pulled this name out of my butt. I was like, My Pretty Feet, and I couldn't put that in, so I said my favorite number is 8, so My Pretty Feet 8.
So just coincidence that your shoe size is 8.
Yeah.
I wanted to back up. Sorry.
No, go for it.
Because you kind of got into or realized there was a scene for this on the internet through eBay, but you did say you had always thought your feet were pretty. Now, was that your own personal observation, or did you have an experience with somebody who had told you, hey, you really have pretty feet?
Well, it started when I was super young, like way before somebody should be commenting on it. Because me and my mom have exactly the same feet, or we used to, and exactly the same hands. And we would talk about, oh, we could be hand models, and we could be foot models, and just silly like girl talk stuff. And when I was older in high school, I did get a few compliments. One random guy told me I had pretty feet from across the room, and I was like, okay. And Frankie told me that I did. And one guy, I was hanging out with older guys I should not have been hanging out with, and he just started sucking my toes, and I'm like, okay. That was my first real experience with foot fetish, but I'm so open to things and experiences that it didn't seem weird to me at all. I was just like, okay.
Okay. See, I was going to ask that because one of the questions that we get all the time is like, you know, or comments that we get is like, I really like feet. I have a foot fetish, but I can't tell anybody about it. So they won't even try to like suck their girlfriend's toes because they're afraid of the reaction.
Well, I'd like to go, for the sake of our podcast, I'd like to go on the record yelling across the room at somebody, hey, you have pretty feet, or randomly finding an underage girl and sucking her toes. These are two things that we on the Other Toes podcast do not endorse.
Just not recommend.
Do not recommend.
Yeah. No, I think it's very bizarre that so many women are so closed off to everything. Although I know that being raised with super strict parents can do that to people, but it's a shame because I think a lot of guys, well, I'd be out of business if they weren't having trouble with it.
Right. That's true. I mean, this is why we have jobs.
Yeah. There's a need for it. If your girlfriends were nice about it.
Yeah.
But I think it's a shame that more people aren't open to what your partner enjoys. You should be talking about this and fulfilling each other's needs.
You did make an absolutely genius perspective of it, though, that you as the content providers for the most part are providing to the subsect of the foot fetish community who are unfortunately a bit repressed. Everything that we on the podcast really don't want them to be, but we're not saying don't stop buying content. But then there's the guys who are looked upon negatively in the community because they're not content purchasers, because maybe they're getting their needs fulfilled with their own girlfriend, you know?
Could be, or they're cheap, or they don't think they should have to pay for it.
And the women, well, the content, you know, producers always throw that bit in, yes.
Yeah, I get a lot of, you know, when they get upset that I won't give them something for free, like, I get a lot of, like, oh, you act all high and mighty, but there's free feet everywhere. And I'm like, okay, well, then why are you in my inbox then?
Yeah, why are you trying to get my feet then?
Yeah, because they're very particular. They're very particular, mm-hmm. And we have that. We're feeling that particular need. So,
yeah.
I mean, especially when you're doing like some serious acting, like Malika does. I mean, they're not going to find that on Pornhub. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to look for it and be like, "Oh, there's that one scene that I want." Like, that's not. So
yeah, exactly. I think that's what a lot of them miss about not ordering customs is like they don't realize. When they're like, oh man, she shouldn't have moved her feet right then. Or, oh man, she should have done this pose for longer. If you order a custom, you're getting exactly what you want, exactly right. What you think you need. So if when you're about to, you know, finish and you don't want me to move my feet at all, which is a big thing, then say that and I will move my feet.
Right, yeah. Be like, do not move your foot between minutes 4 and 5. Keep your feet at the, you know, at this angle. Like, they're great.
Or when you're doing the cum countdown, you know, keep them still.
Hey, so tell us a little bit about the foot model interviewing.
Oh, okay. So I started my YouTube originally because I didn't like the information that was out there to help models. I thought it was bullshit.
Yes. Kind of a disservice. It's kind of a disservice and a lot of exaggerated truths. Yeah.
And it was a lot of annoying content. Like, I don't like to listen to girls that are like, oh shoot, here's my water bottle. Oh shoot, here's my kitty. You know, just randomly something's happening. I'm like, get the point.
Right. 15 minutes later, you still don't know what it's about.
Yeah, I've been watching this for so many minutes and you haven't said anything. So that drove me nuts. So that was the original plan, but then I was like, well, I need to have something for the fans. And so that's what it started in. Then I started noticing that everything is age restricted. and I didn't want it to be age restricted. And I watch a lot of porn podcasts. I love listening to stuff about the sex work industry. And I noticed that they weren't age restricted. So I was like, well, I'm just going to interview people then if it's not going to be age restricted. And that's how it started.
We keep ourselves age restricted, I think, because we like to say fuck a lot.
Yeah.
we say all kinds of fucking shit.
Yeah, it's better than battling them for sure, because I still battle them with the interviews. It's very frustrating.
So where are you at with that? What season are you in? What episodes? Like, tell us how it works.
So I started with just, they're all fan questions. So they ask the common stuff. What size are your feet? Do your feet smell? What, you know, the common fan things that you normally get asked. So I started with that. It was very just casual. And then season two, I asked different questions, like more questions. And for season three, I have some exciting stuff going on. I am actually, because I got a lot of comments about wanting it to be longer. And so the original episode with just the fan questions is going to be on YouTube. And then if they want to see the rest of it, they have to subscribe to my OnlyFans, where I will be finding out how ticklish they are, finding out how their feet smell or if they smell, and then comparing our feet. So that's what I've been getting into for season three to hope, you know, bring in more followers and money for doing these interviews.
Right.
It's a lot of work. Yeah, it's a lot of work. And I think I'm on episode, I've only edited three episodes for season three, but I think I've got seven. So I'm on the seventh episode of season three.
How many episodes a year do you find you tend to do?
The first season I did 12. The second season I did 11. And yeah, I kind of based, so in season three, if someone didn't have enough time to do the second half of the interview or they didn't want to do trade, I just did this part one just for YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how I kind of decided when to end it, is when I had a bunch of episodes for season three ready. And also season two is almost ended. It's ending in June. So I had to start getting those edited and uploaded and stuff. So that's kind of how I decided. There wasn't like a set, okay, I'm going to do this many episodes here and this many episodes here.
Oh God, I wish we had that kind of a backstock of episodes recorded.
Right.
We're weekly and we pretty much record weekly, and within 3 to 4 days of recording, it goes live.
Yeah.
Different world, different format though, definitely.
Yeah, but I think it's different when it's two, like, you know how hard it was to get Malika on. So it's different. It's hard when it's two people, like when you're working with three different schedules in three different time zones, you know? Yeah. So Malika, is it people that, like, are you traveling for this or is it just kind of people that?
Yeah, just basically people that have already traveled here and that I was already working with. Like, I haven't traveled yet to film with anybody that I wasn't already going to. So basically FetishCon got all of season two done. Well, most of season two done at FetishCon because I was working with somebody. I got 8 interviews at FetishCon. And at the time, I was only posting them once a month. So that's how I got such an enormous backlog.
Right.
For season two, they're posted every 2 weeks. So it's kind of caught up quite a bit. But yeah, posting them once a month, it's not, you know, it was really, the backlog happened really quickly, especially because I've been working a lot this last year.
That's so cool. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's been really fun to meet everybody and, everybody's so nice, you know, even people that I was nervous would be mean, like the doms. I'm intimidated by the dominant women, but they're so nice. They're not, a lot of them are not like that, you know, they're not what they are on the screen. Yeah. So
no, I suspect that you're a good judge of character, and I think that you can tell maybe when somebody's going to be a good guest or not. So, but yeah, you know, for that and so many other reasons, I really wanted to get you on because, I mean, you're a really good asset to the community. You really are. I love that. I love that. So what kind of other, do you have any other projects going on or is this your baby right now? Like, what are you focusing on?
The interviews are definitely, have been a fun project for me. I'm definitely moving towards more other fetishes. Not because I'm bored of the foot fetish at all. That's still kind of my wheelhouse. And I always kind of revert back to that. I tried to do some other stuff and I always tend to like put my feet in the video. That's what I'm used to. But I'm trying to learn other things and get better at working with producers because that's a whole different ball game when you're acting with somebody else with a camera in your face. And so you're looking at them and you're looking at the camera and it's intimidating. So I have got to practice with that. That's something that I really want to get better at. So that I can be a better hire.
Yeah, I definitely don't have too much experience with that. I mean, my husband does all my photos and my videos, so that's mm-hmm. I mean, it's a little different, you know, because I can yell at him when I don't like something or
it's a lot easier when you can cut yourself and it's your video, but when you're filming something for somebody else, you feel that pressure of like wanting to give all you can for them and it's a lot. It was a lot to handle this last time that I did a content trip. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like totally out of my league here. I got some
have you had any negative experiences with any collaborations? You don't have to say any names.
I really don't think I've had any yet. Everybody that I've met has been so nice and so respectful, and I always learn something new from somebody that I'm working with, even if they don't have as much experience as me. And a lot of the times, because they came from the fetish side, they have a lot to teach me. So depending on how you came into the industry, you have a lot more knowledge in that sector. So it's been really fun to learn something new from everybody. So no, I haven't had any bad experiences yet. Cross my fingers.
I'm glad. How much traveling are you doing these days?
What's that?
How much traveling are you doing these days?
Not enough. I'm really bad about wanting to drive somewhere. if I'm going to drive somewhere, I want to stay. So this last time I went to Tampa. And I was able to stay for 3 days. So each day I had a photo shoot each of the 3 days. But this summer, we've got a camper and we're going to go traveling around a couple states. And each state, I'm going to have a photo shoot. So it's kind of like a little bit of fun. We're going to see some parks that we've never seen and go hiking and all that stuff, me and my husband. And then I'm also going to be working. So.
You're mixing work with the family vacation.
What's that?
I said you're mixing work with the family vacation. That's
yeah.
That's, we talked that's about that last week. Talk to us that we wanted that. That's what we've been doing, like trying to sneak in.
You and
some...
I have been talking about trying to find a way to mix a pre-planned family trip and an opportunity to get together or meet with somebody that we want to record with or whatever. Yeah, I guess that's when you have to straddle the cusp between professional and amateur, and especially if you got to keep your day job, then that's kind of how you got to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You know,
kill two birds with one stone. I mean, that's the smart way to work. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. When I was over in Tampa for Thanksgiving, I worked with somebody almost every single day I was there, because the Tampa people, there's a lot of them over there. So you have a lot of opportunities to work with people. And I was not going to let it up just because it was Thanksgiving.
So did you have to tell your family? I'm assuming you saw family or whatnot. But did you have to tell family like, oh, I got to go, you know, work on my fetish videos? Do they?
Yeah, they know. Mm-hmm.
I love it.
I did it for a few years, but now that I've gotten so busy, it'd be hard to be like, oh, I'm just going to go hang out with a friend in full makeup with clothes that I don't normally wear.
So yeah, like, full dom outfit, leather head to toe. And
A sheer
shirt. Go lunch with a friend.
Yeah. So I tell him, and my husband is really supportive about it now. When I first started, he didn't like it. He wasn't into the whole idea, but now he's, after we went to FetishCon and he had such a good time and he met so many people that were amazing, he's all supportive now. So
yeah. Right. He said everybody's a human, everybody's a kind human, and
You said he's not into feet, but is he sort of a fetishy guy?
No, he's not at all, but now he enjoys tickling me, which is a problem.
Oh, yes.
He loves to tickle my feet, and, you know, he's had a couple of good jobs, so he enjoys that side of it.
I mean, right? They still feel good, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How ticklish are you, would you say?
What's that?
How ticklish are you, would you say?
My feet are 10 out of 10 ticklish. I mean, he's not even allowed to tickle me anywhere else because I'm so ticklish. But he can tickle me.
Yeah. I feel like they end up liking that because my husband doesn't have a tickle fetish. He does have a foot fetish, but he doesn't have a tickle fetish. But we made, you know, one custom a few years ago, and it was like, that was it. That was the end. And now I have to really, like, I'm constantly moving my feet. Like, don't tickle me, you know? I hate being tickled. I mean, I love it and I hate it. He loves it.
From the tickler's perspective, it's just one of those things that elicits an amazing, obvious, and instant response.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
And it's a really sort of
bam. You know, I don't want to call it a sexual experience, but in fetishy experience, it's really just like bam and instantaneous, you know. Mm-hmm. Anything else you got to work for it. Tickling, you're like instant gratification. You touch, they squeal, endorphins run, you know, and even if it doesn't lead to anything else, boom, you've got, you know, it's just great for that kind of puts that wicked grin on your face.
Yeah, it's a little wicked, and also like you're hearing the person that you love laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, so he loves it. Oh my gosh, and I hate it. And then I think, you know, at the risk of being creepy, but I think like my little one has seen it, and so now he's tickling too. Like he thinks it's so much fun, and I'm just like, no! No one in this house tickle ever!
Like, well, you're in trouble now.
Yeah, but I definitely love this community. I think even if my husband wasn't a foot, you know, fetishist, and I kind of fell into it, I think I would have just still been in love with it. Like there's just so many really good aspects of it. Yeah. We see a lot of the bad, you know, like we see a lot of the bad and we just complain and complain, but it's definitely given me opportunities and allowed me to meet really great people that I would have never, you know, I mean, I would have never met really. I mean, Top Toes, like, would
I was going to say, she's talking about me, isn't she?
Right? I mean, you're like, you know, way across the world and shit. So, I mean, not world, but, you know, the US. So, So, Malika, do you want to give us your plugs and like all your social medias and where people can find you and order videos and stuff?
I wanted to get into our one sort of, unfortunately, it didn't come up organically, but we knew we had one question we had to ask as we are getting into on our way to a series of coming off not
sort of oh, gosh,
into a series. That. Of nylons, and I've been on your Twitter recently, retweeted a couple of your nylon picks. I know you play to that subsect of the foot fetish community.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I can't believe I completely forgot about that.
That's okay. It's, you know, nylon's my thing. We know this, so I can ask the question.
You are a nylon guy, so you ask the nylon question. Yeah,
and we've talked to a bunch of models about this, and we want your perspective on it.
Okay.
since you do so much custom work, do mm-hmm. you find a difference in the, we'll call them the nylon clients? Mm-hmm.
Then the barefoot ones. The regular.
I know that the nylon lovers enjoy the sound that the nylons make when you're crossing and uncrossing your legs, which is different. They enjoy the crossed legs, you know, the whole nylon experience. And also a lot of it goes into the foot smelling. Not that the barefoot lovers don't like that, but I think there's a lot more of it when it's with nylons. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming it's because of the smell that comes with wearing nylons and heels usually. I mean, that's what the customs that I get usually talk about. But other than those kind of differences with it, I feel like it's pretty much the same.
And most of our
nylon lovers, I know that there's nylon lovers that like very, very expensive nylons. But the fans that I get are just like, just beige pantyhose, whatever, you know?
I like most of the nylon models that I know say that the nylon custom, the nylon fetishists are significantly sweeter and nicer than the barefoot fetish, you know, requests.
Maybe I just don't get enough. I'm really bad about posting photos with them. I just did some nylon content today with a new pair of nylons that are black and they're way shinier and like softer. So I took some content with that today, but I'm really bad about taking content if I don't have a custom for it.
Do you, so you don't wear nylons, like you don't wear nylons on a,
she's a Florida,
on your day-to-day life.
Yeah, it's just too hot in Florida. Yeah. I've had a guy that wanted me to wear nylons with shoes to make them smelly. And I was like, there's no chance in hell I am wearing nylons outside. I'm not going to do, I sweat just the second you walk outside, you sweat. No, thank you.
So Malika will do your nylon content, but as long as she gets to do it in the comfort of her central air-conditioned house.
Right, yeah. And yeah. I was just saying, like, the opposite. I was just saying, like, in our last episode, I said that I was going to try to wear nylons during the summer because I want to wear shorts. Mm-hmm. And my thighs rub together, and the nylons prevent that. So I'm like, I'm just going to wear nylons all summer. Like, and I live in Texas, so it's equally humid, you know.
I'll report back
on that later. Like, I may try a couple times and then I'll let you guys know if that actually worked out for me or not, because
I've been in the Gulf Coast of Texas and the Gulf Coast of Florida in the same month of May, and I will tell you, Texas is nothing compared to the gross hot humid that the Gulf Coast of Florida has. So
sweat. Constant sweat. The second you step outside, it's humid all the time. The winter, humid. It's humid.
In the winter, too?
What's that?
In the winter, too?
It can, yeah, it's humid. It's humid all the time. In the winter, it doesn't really get winter here. You know, there's a couple days where it'll be chilly, but we don't get winter. It's like, we have three seasons. We've got spring, which is a few months, like 2 months. And then we've got summer, which lasts until the end of December. And then we've got snowbird season.
Yeah, no.
Snowbirds come down.
We have two seasons. We have summer and winter. It can get pretty cold here, but for the most part, it's just hot and humid. I've been to Florida, and the coast is extremely, it's the water, so yeah, it's very, very humid, yeah.
The last time I was there, if the temperature dropped below 75, suddenly everybody threw on jackets. It was really scary. And I'm like, I'm still in shorts. Like,
I was dropping to like, it was like 55. I was like, what is happening?
I'm like, oh God, put the heater on.
I had to put on a real jacket, not just a sweater.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome. All right, so then there you have it. No nylons on a regular basis for Malika. So, yeah.
So that's, that explains exactly why she doesn't understand how much better the Nylon fans are. She just is not catering to them.
I'm not getting them. Damn it. I'm missing out. Makes a note to post more Nylon content.
But I think Malika's like followers in general are just really nice.
They are. Like, and
I just think that she just has nice fans. Yeah.
I do.
And they're there for what Malika's doing, which, as I dove into your stuff, is just about anything. You've got this attitude of try anything. If somebody throws an idea at you, you seem to be willing, except for the weird pregnancy one. Other than that, I've seen you've done content of every stripe of foot fetishism and some stuff outside of it, like vore. And always with a very, I would say, an aplomb. You know, you're always just
She's a professional. She's a professional.
She absolutely is. And so, absolutely, thank you for giving us this much of your time today.
Thank you for having me.
I know, you've been great.
Since I interjected just before, now is the time when you can pimp yourself, but you're also going to DM me all of those links so that I can give them to the fans on our website.
Okay.
But
yeah. So where do they
run through where should they follow?
I feel like, you know, oh my gosh, Malika, you did this great, like this brilliant thing on Instagram. I want to say it's Instagram, where you have a link tree on Instagram and then you have another link. Mm-hmm. From that link to your, like, you know, kind of naughtier stuff. So yeah. I mean, give us all of it. Tell us where can all the fans find you?
The best place to find me is on Twitter at mfeet8, the number 8, because that's where my links are all in the first pinned tweet. But you can find me, just Google me at mypretyfeet8 and you should be able to find everything. But the link tree is long because I am everywhere. I try to be as many places as possible to just get my name out there and be visible. So just follow me on Twitter and you can find everything.
Yeah.
We'll make sure.
So that all the YouTubes, the Reddits, the Instagrams, the OnlyFans, the Loyal Fans, the Clip for Sales, the Many Bids, the I Want Clips.
Yep.
She's on all of it. So
we'll make sure that if not all of those, at the very least, all the link trees are available on our website at othosetoes.com so our fans can stalk you and become fans of yours.
I just realized how dark it's getting. I apologize. I was going by the sunlight and I'm losing it all.
Yeah. Same here, actually. But okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. You've been so great and such a great sport. Thank you so much. I'm going to go, I'm going to stalk you myself because I didn't realize that I wasn't following you on some of those. So I have a busy evening.
thank you so much. And as always, thank you to our listeners, viewers, and subscribers. You know, without you, why are we doing this? Because we have fun talking to people anyway. So that's why we do this.
You can have one follower and it'd still be fun.
It'll always be fun. But we definitely love that you love doing this. We love all your feedback. Been replying to a bunch and probably ignoring twice as much because it just, yeah. Hey, we get lots of good fan mail. We love that. And we do. We read it all. Thank you all so much for listening and being part of this. And as always, for those of you who have found any reason, and on the YouTube, there's been plenty of reason, but if it's been just audio, listening to our voices this whole time while masturbating, you're welcome.
Very welcome.